Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin, 8:35 on this chilly Sunday morning. I'd say brisk, but that would be an understatement. It is very cold out there. That wind is whistling through the caverns on Michigan Avenue, and everybody just bundle up, stay warm. A good day to turn on the fireplace and watch some sports, and of course, watch to see the Blackhawks go for 11 in a row tonight. And you can hear the pregame here on WGN at 5:30 with John and Troy, with all of the action starting at 6 o'clock from the United Center tonight as the Hawks take on the Montreal Canadiens in an original six game. Well, joining me now on the Sunday Spin is Christine Redonio. She's the Republican leader of the Illinois Senate, a lawmaker from Lamont. Senator, thank you for getting up with me this morning. Hope it's all warm where you're at today.
Well, it's not too warm. The coffee's warm.
Good enough. That's a good start.
Right.
It's a cold dash for the Sunday paper this morning, that's for sure.
That's right.
I wanted, before we talk about more state issues, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to Rob Carr from the Retail Merchants was on with me in the last segment talking about...
I did listen to him, yeah.
Okay, and this effort to basically determine a minimum price for tobacco products in a municipality, it just sounds like there's a lot of legal questions surrounding that, and is there anything the legislature might want to take a look at with that?
Well, I do think it's a very slippery slope. They really kind of have a dual purpose here. One, they'd like to raise revenue, but as you two discussed, I think that's sort of a zero-sum game as people move their purchases to less costly venues, and that's easily done. The other reason that cigarettes in particular are an easy mark is because there is the public policy health benefit of trying to dissuade people from quitting. But again, that's at odds with the revenue piece of it.
Yeah, it's true. Well, and with these vice taxes, it's like trying to have it both ways sometimes.
Exactly. And it doesn't work. And we've seen that, too, as we've raised the tax on cigarettes in the state. That is a declining revenue stream as people both quit and move their purchases.
And there's also a generational evolution, too, I think, that exists with that as well.
Oh, there's no question about it. People are well aware at this point that cigarettes kill. And I think that I recently read that we're at a point now where fewer high school students than ever are smoking. So I think kids have gotten the message. A lot of the policy that we put in place, the education efforts, increasing the prices, and I think the effort across the nation to raise the purchase age, all are doing their job in getting people not to start.
Maybe to segue from this issue of the mayor's office trying to do this to the mayor himself, you were at the City Club of Chicago last week, where you had some pretty harsh words about Mayor Emanuel's leadership of the city of Chicago.
Well, yeah, I really did. I mean, I think that people have been monumentally disappointed in him. I mean, here he was, someone who sort of came in from the outside, if you will, although certainly supported by the Democrat infrastructure in the state, but seemed to be a guy who was bright and had managed things in D.C., and there was, I think, a lot of hope that he could turn the city around, particularly financially. Even when he came in 5 years ago, we knew that the city was on a path that was not a good one, to say the very least. But as time has gone on, I think he's disappointed on every single level. I mean, I think the city is far worse off today than when he came in financially. And then, of course, we have the just confounding situation of the violence in the city, and that seems to be accelerating as well instead of getting better. So I would say that he's been a tremendous disappointment to people.
I know that certainly the mayor is looking for a lot of financial help from the state of Illinois. I've also kind of publicly questioned whether that's necessarily a good idea, since the state has its own issues. And, of course, here we are still talking about the lack of a state budget. But the fact that, you know, you're looking at $480 million in money or relief for the Chicago Public Schools, money for mass transit, money for to alleviate some pension costs on the for city government. And I know that Governor Rauner has said he's willing to help, but you've got to help me. And is given the where Rahm Emanuel is and what many have said is a crisis of confidence in Chicago governance, is that even a realistic idea of Rahm being able to play some kind of a broker role?
Well, I actually think he could perhaps change the conversation about Chicago if he took a leadership role in trying to partner with the governor to change things. I mean, his approval ratings are horrific. And so maybe he could change what they're talking about if he actively sought to partner with the governor to not only once and for all help Chicago, but also help the state onto a more sustainable fiscal path, which is what the governor is trying to do.
But you have the, you know, the fundamental issue again of the elements of the governor's turnaround agenda that Emanuel says he's unwilling to be a part of, particularly those that are the more union weakening provisions. And you've seen kind of this ratcheting up of the rhetoric between the governor and the mayor, which does not seem to be helpful towards trying to go where everybody needs to go and getting some kind of an agreement.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, the rhetoric is not particularly helpful, but really we don't have a lot of choices in the situation that both the city and the state are in. I mean, when you think about it, there really are only four options. The Republicans can walk away from reform and say, okay, we're just going to go ahead and give the city the bailout that it needs and, you know, on to another day. We would capitulate. That's not an option for Republicans. It's not an option for the governor. We will not do that. We have to have fundamental change in the state. Now, the Democrats, as you know, in Springfield have supermajorities in both chambers. So if they want to go ahead and impose a gigantic tax increase on the people of the city and the people of the state and continue to do what they're doing, the status quo, where they, you know, can't handle the finances as it is, that's another option. They can just override the Republicans. So Republicans can capitulate. Democrats can override. We can stay in this mess and end up with a $25 billion hole at the end of 3 years, which is what the governor's budget office has just projected will happen if we stay in this. Or the Democrats can come to the realization that the people in the state voted for some change and come to the table and, unlike what the mayor is saying, I'm not going to be part of the turnaround agenda, say, hey, let's take a look at some of these things. Maybe they make sense, and really engage in a discussion about change for the state.
Well,
that's what we're looking at.
I mean, you've been in these meetings of the four tops, or I guess the last one was the three tops since since Madigan wasn't there, but the four top lawmakers and the governor. And I just get the sense that it's just a matter of everybody has, and I'm talking about this on all sides, is everybody has their talking points, and that's as far as anything really goes.
There really is not a lot of genuine engagement, and that's the problem. I know there's a lot of focus on why don't we get together. Well, we could sit in a room, you know, from now until the cows come home and still have nothing happen. The decision has to be made. On the Democratic side, the mayor of Chicago and Mike Madigan in particular, they have to decide that this impasse is not good. And that apparently has not happened. I think, quite frankly, they are hoping this impasse is good for them politically in the long term, but it sure as heck is not good for the city and not good for the state. And until they make that decision, they are not going to engage in any real discussion about reform.
We're speaking with Illinois Senate Republican leader Christine Redonio. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, 8:47 on this chilly, brisk Sunday morning in downtown Chicago. I'm in the Allstate Showcase studio, nice and warm. On the phone, Christine Redonio, the Republican leader of the Illinois Senate. Leader, I wanted to kind of take what you touched on, the issue of the politics and the stalemate. And it seems to me everybody kept talking about, well, we get into January, it's you don't need as many votes to pass something. But at the same time, January, here we are, it's 2016, and people are already, you know, focusing on primaries, and then we've got the general election in November. And it just seems in a political atmosphere, it's much harder to try to bridge the gap here.
Well, that's true, but this is a political business, and it's always a political atmosphere. There's always an election around the corner. So I don't think the election per se is the political hang-up. I think it's a defense of the status quo. I mean, as you know, the Democrats have had control of the state for the last 13 years. They've had complete control of Chicago for over 80 years. What the governor is asking for fundamentally disrupts what their control has been based on. And so, and that goes to the heart of who their constituencies are, who funds their campaigns. And that's what I think is at the real heart of this. That's why I think that Mike Madigan is willing to let anything happen in the short term in order to preserve his power. And it really doesn't have to do with an election. It has to do with his power base.
But does it really come down to these union weakening provisions as having to be the, quote, structural reforms that are necessary to have all the dominoes fall into place?
Well, you know, when we talk about the union weakening reforms, and that's a very broad term, and I think what the governor is asking for is not unreasonable. I mean, at this point, he's taken the right to work stuff off the table. That was very offensive to many people. That's gone. What he's talking about now is simply giving localities a little more flexibility in terms of having a say over their own destiny, what they negotiate with their unions, not getting rid of them, but, you know, what are the things that they're going to negotiate? Interestingly, the Democrats have given Chicago the ability to determine some of those things. Now we're saying, hey, what about the rest of the state? For example, with education, and you know that's a huge piece of the problem in Chicago. They've been able to privatize their janitorial services, yet the rest of the state is not able to do that and save any money. Now, the argument can be made, well, it didn't work, you know, they didn't have a good contract in Chicago, but that's no reason to not even allow that option for the rest of the state. So, again, the Democrats, when it serves their purposes, will do something with unions, but they deny that opportunity to the rest of the state.
Well, and there's also provisions about whether prevailing wages should be paid for construction projects on public works. And I have to wonder if there isn't some sort of a compromise that couldn't be reached on maybe setting a certain level of a project cost or something that might be able to be compromise.
When you talk about prevailing wage, I mean, that's a big nugget there. Many states, in fact, I believe 42 other states have some limitation on prevailing wage without getting rid of it. And I think, again, the governor has indicated time and time and time again, he is willing to compromise. But the Democrats just say, well, that's off the table. We're just not going to touch that. And that's not really the basis for a good negotiation.
So we're looking at an issue, you know, everybody throughout this whole impasse have been looking at pressure points, and pressure points that for the most part didn't really materialize, part of that being most notably when the governors did sign the one portion of the budget that dealt with elementary and secondary education. But now, speaking of elementary and secondary education and what is confronting the Chicago public schools, and now we're starting to, we thought it might be January, but it looks like it could be February, where it could be that point where we're looking at massive school closures, massive teacher layoffs, potentially a teacher's strike. Do you think that's the pressure point next?
Well, it's just a darn shame that we have to get that far, but it may be a pressure point. My concern, quite frankly, though, is that the power status quo in this state and in the city of Chicago is so important to the Democrats that they would allow that kind of disruption to happen to the education of hundreds of thousands of Chicago school children and still not be willing to make the changes that need to be made. But I, you know, we keep thinking that pressure point is looming, and as you point out, Chicago Public Schools have continued to pull rabbits out of the hat, if you will. They borrowed the money to make their pension payment last June. They want to borrow money again to get through the spring on without having to lay off any teachers. That borrowing is just compounding the problem, though. And, again, I think the goal here is to maintain the status quo.
Well, and then, of course, we just saw, another round of borrowing coming through for city government as well. And
right.
I mean, and when we started the show, we were talking about the issue of the bonding that the state just sold $480 million worth of bonds, but also given the state's financial problems. Professor Martin Luby from DePaul calculated that bond sale will cost us an extra $53 million in penalties, which doesn't sound like a great deal of money, but frankly, we don't have $53 million to give away, even over a 25-year period, based on the state's bond rating. And, you know, it raises those questions of how much longer can we kick a can down the road when that can is, there's not much left of the can. I think it's down to a pop top now.
Right. Well, and the fact of the matter is, Chicago public schools are even worse off than the state. So the premium that they will have to pay to borrow will be much greater than what the state is borrowing. Their bond rating is junk status. The state is not at junk status. So the premium they pay will be extraordinary, and their budget is smaller than the state's. So relative to their budget, it's going to be a huge waste of money for them to continue to borrow that way. I mean, I think we need to be talking about other options for the Chicago Public Schools. There's things we could talk about, such as the ability for them to declare bankruptcy, which many people think they are currently insolvent. We actually have a mechanism in the state right now where the state takes over school districts that are unable to manage their finances. That might be another route to go. But for them to continue to borrow at extraordinary rates, if in fact they're able to make the bond sale, which they may be able to do, is just compounding the problem. And as you said, that is going to come home to roost. And when it does, it's going to be even more expensive to fix than it is right now.
Do you think that the state should take a look at taking over the finances of the Chicago Public Schools?
I think that's an option we should at least explore. I mean, when you see some of the mismanagement that continues to come out in the press, I know that as I listened to the previous segment talking about the lost equipment, the catering bills, the whole Barbara Bennett Boyd situation, it's hard for me to believe that the Chicago Public Schools are being managed well, with the primary goal being the education of those children.
That's Illinois Republican Senate Leader Christine Redonio from Lamont. Leader, thank you for joining me this morning.
Well, thank you.
We'll be back with more right after this.